out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 22nd of March, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. As it's Thursday, we are joined today by Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm hanging in there, Sven. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. It's springtime at last, I think, in Britain. We've had so much snow recently. I've been very reticent to actually say it. Because each time I say, oh, it's lovely weather, we suddenly get another cold snap and it's freezing cold again. It's Easter next week and we've still got parts of Britain that are submerged in under snow.
Here in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, we are buried under it.
Still?
Oh, yes.
I thought you were on daylight savings time over there. I thought it was summertime for you over there.
Yeah, it's very odd. I understand.
Anyway, what have you got for us today? You messaged me and said it's all about American failures in Afghanistan, and there have been so many of them. I'm sure this is going to be rich pickings in today's podcast. But, where do you actually start with American failures in Afghanistan? I know you're writing a paper on it.
That's an excellent question. Where do you begin? I am finishing up a lengthy paper I have a book out on American failures in the Middle East in general. Of course, Afghanistan's in Central Asia. So this is a separate issue. Many of our listeners have seen the video of American advisors trying to train the Afghan army, and they can't do anything right. They can't do push-ups. They can't do jumping jacks. They can't shoot anything. It was just a few years ago, and I'll show you how bad they were. A group of Taliban soldiers. Now, understand, I'm very pro-Taliban. I'm no friend of Islam, but relative to Afghanistan, they're a very popular group. A handful of Taliban dressed like Afghan soldiers came to one of the Afghan army air bases, which, of course, is about half American. There are only about 10 of them, and they drove in two Ford Ranger trucks. They got through seven checkpoints, and they arrived inside northern Afghanistan's largest military installation. And this is right after the Muslim Afghan soldiers are – it was Friday. They're just coming from prayer services, getting ready for lunch. And for 5 hours, these militants, completely unopposed, killed at least 140 of the Afghan soldiers. This is the deadliest attack in an Afghan military base however long this war has been going on, almost 20 years. Eventually, some of the attackers blew themselves up. The soldiers dropped their weapons and fled for their lives. 5 hours, no one shot them, no one shot back at them. And like it or not, this hilarious failure is really on the United States. The Afghan soldiers that they train are the lowest in Afghan society. They're considered traitors. Their drugs are everywhere. They're high most of the time. I've seen many videos on American advisors simply giving up on them. Many of them take their training back to the Taliban again, abandon the Americans entirely. But that these are battle-hardened men. Taliban soldiers pass seven checkpoints and shoot up a base for 5 hours unopposed. And the Afghan soldiers are dropping their weapons and running for their lives. There are a handful of ten. There's 10 of them, killing 140 at least. And it's a little funny. That's how bad they are.
You mean? And, I was going to say, you mean making exceptions for all the drug taking and all the boy buggering and all the dancing around with men dressed up in makeup. It hasn't turned these Afghans into American citizens yet. Then it hasn't turned them into Marines. I wonder why not.
Shockingly enough, that's not the case. Yes.
Well, how popular were the Taliban then? Because, you know, America's gone in there and has tried to get rid of the government that was in place, and yet the people that formed that government are still around. Was there any? Did anybody have any wish for the Americans to go in there? I mean, how popular were the Taliban originally? Because you would think they were a Muslim government that has conservative principles that was getting rid of the drugs. I'm not sure where they stood on the boy buggering, but they were definitely getting rid of the drugs. And then you've got America goes in there and the whole place goes to pot, literally, with poppy fields and cannabis fields, and Americans soldiers are guarding them. So do you know how popular were the Taliban originally before America went in there?
Well, it's a really impossible to tell, but it just makes sense to me that, of course, they're anti-sodomy 100%. You got to remember that the place has been war-torn for two generations now. Public morality went down to zero under these circumstances. You had no central government, no functional economy. Here you had a group of men funded by Pakistan and to a lesser extent Saudi Arabia, because they were seen as a check on Iran, setting up a very centralized government, kicking out all the Western, you know, television and everything else, torching the poppy fields. The UN stated, and the UN actually gave them an award for this, reduced the poppy crop to precisely zero. And if anyone planted that crop, they'd get a bullet in their head. And so they wiped out the poppy fields in a couple of weeks, which is all it takes to win a drug war. Created order, created a functional economy. They got their start as soldiers guarding the trade between Pakistan and Afghanistan early on, which is one of the reasons that Pakistan was a big supporter of theirs. And so they developed a strong sense of camaraderie, able to use where they were trained by the Pakistani army. So I could only say that they were very popular. They're Pashtun nationalists, generally speaking. I guess it's about 60% of the economy. To this day, any heroin use is punishable by death, or you're growing the poppy itself. So the U.S. press claims that the Taliban is making their money through heroin, which is absurd. I know Scotland Yard has stated that 80% of the heroin in Great Britain and UK is of Afghan origin. But that's only under areas under Northern Alliance control. The CIA created the Northern Alliance. Pakistani ISI created the Taliban. I've read Taliban missives from their website, the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, and they talk very much like we do. And then suddenly, as the U.S. fails miserably, ISIS shows up to fight the Taliban in Afghanistan, proving once more they're simply American mercenaries.
ISIS are going against them as well, then. I mean, I hadn't heard that. I'm just saying, you're saying that all the heroin that's in Europe, or 80% of it at least, has an Afghan origin. But I can remember reading 20 years ago that all the heroin in Europe was coming from somewhere that was called the Golden Triangle, and that had Vietnam in the center of it. That was Vietnam and Cambodia. It wasn't America involved in a war over there as well some years back, and all the heroin was coming from that area. What a strange coincidence. Yeah.
It shifted. Afghanistan has much larger fields. The Burmese government, as I've written many times, has smashed a lot of the poppy operation in that country, which is the reason the U.S. opposed it so much. The Vietnamese victory in the Vietnam War ended it there. A little bit of it possibly in Thailand, but Afghanistan took it over. Now, most of the heroin in America comes from Mexico, but it's still of Afghan origin. It's just that Mexico is a transit point, because it's far easier for them to ship it through Mexico because of NAFTA rather than directly into the U.S. So Afghanistan, under U.S. control, is the cause of the opiate addictions around the world. Obviously, the addicts themselves are, but prices have gone way down once the U.S. Attacked Afghanistan. So the reason, while I'm on the subject, why did this happen? Osama bin Laden and the Taliban were opponents. They were not allies, as the U.S. press stated. Bin Laden viewed the Taliban as ignoramuses. Before 9/11, actually several days before 9/11, the Taliban government offered to turn Osama bin Laden in, saying he's nothing but a troublemaker here. And they wanted an Islamic government of several states to try him. And the U.S. told him to go to hell. Now, I don't believe for 2 minutes that Osama bin Laden had anything to do with 9/11. He was a very sick man at the time. And the Taliban condemned it, and his organization condemned it. The Taliban came out and said this was a killing of innocent women and children, and so they were opposed to it. They certainly have no reason to lie, and they certainly have no reason to support an action that would guarantee an attack on their country. But besides the drugs, besides the oil pipelines going through Central Asia, people forget that the Soviets, when they invaded Afghanistan, had discovered that Afghanistan is another South Africa, another Kosovo. It has huge veins of iron, copper, cobalt, gold, lithium, which are important for BlackBerry batteries, some of the biggest in the world. And this is yet a third reason why the U.S. Attacked a country that had absolutely nothing to do and couldn't threaten the U.S. if they tried. The Taliban writings, which are all in English, said that they care about nothing than organizing the emirate in Afghanistan to never bother their neighbors. They don't have the capacity to bother their neighbors. And for Afghan government to be blamed for 9/11 is just a pretext. Everyone knew that they had nothing to do with it. Osama bin Laden had nothing to do with it. That bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, and the Taliban were all enemies of one another and had just preyed on the ignorance of the American public. That's a lot of information, but that goes to the root of this. But I'm sick and tired of people calling the U.S. this military superpower. It can't win a damn thing. Its carrier fleet is now completely obsolete because the Chinese have their carrier sinking missiles that can move at Mach 10. One of them can take out a carrier. And the Chinese now have two of them. They have greater industrial capacity. They have a larger army. They're now developing a fifth generation of stealth fighters. They have more tanks than the U.S. does. The U.S. is no longer a military superpower, if it ever was. It's lost every war it's ever had anything to do with. I mean, even World War II was fought by the Soviet Union far more than the U.S. So I guess the last war that the U.S. ever won was against against Panama, Grenada, and the Pacific Theater in World War II. Everything else has been a complete defeat, and one of the most blatant and laughable and dangerous has been Afghanistan.
Well, this is why they try and use proxies now, isn't it? I mean, don't forget, we've got those five crack commandos in Syria that work for America, all that money that was sent into Syria to train the rebels, and that's all they actually had was five people on the ground. And now you've got the Afghani crack commandos who can't even do star jumps and push-ups and sit-ups. I mean, literally incapable of doing that, where they're so drugged out of their minds all the time. I remember seeing a documentary a while back that said that even the kids over there in Afghanistan are all smoking heroin. Because they've seen so many horrific things and they can't actually get medicine, they all just take heroin instead. That's all they take. That's their medicine for everything because they can't afford hospitals. And you've got kids from 2-3 years old that are being weaned from their mother's milk and are going straight on to smoking heroin. So you've got a huge drug problem over there. And you've got this army that isn't an army, that is just retarded. I mean, to let the Taliban in when you're supposed to be protecting them is just a complete debacle. Everything that's happened over there. You would think that Donald Trump would pull troops out from there. I mean, Obama kept going on about pulling troops out from Afghanistan, but they never have. I mean, it's got to be all about protecting these poppies, hasn't it? Protecting the drug trade. We know that there's masses of money involved in that, billions of money, dollars that are involved in that. And we know that the CIA are at a certain level, the CIA are the same people as these, as the gangsters. So what about the oil that's, that you mentioned? What about oil pipelines? Because often I can remember hearing, oh, we're going into these countries for the oil. And I always thought, well, what's going on there? Are they going to try and put the price up? Are they going to try and put the price down? Because oil has been very, very cheap recently. So what is the oil attraction over there? Is it pipelines? Is it to do with price fluctuations? What is it, Matt?
Well, it's pipelines. As far as I know, Afghanistan doesn't have any native fields of any note. Pakistan was in union with the Taliban government to build a very large one up through the Caspian Sea, which upset the Americans, which was yet another reason why for the Afghan war. The Bush administration was very positively disposed to the Taliban government because, number one, you know, I mean, he congratulated them for destroying the poppy trade, which is, you know, ironic in his case. But they stabilized a country that no one thought they could be stabilized. And so finally, they could work with Pakistan and other countries, especially Saudi Arabia, to create a pipeline up through the Caspian Sea. The way that it's going, and the drugs in the pipelines are going in the same direction, up through the Caspian and up through the Punsky Gorge in Georgia, and straight from there to Europe. This is why the gorge, Georgia had to become an American satellite, which of course it is, because that gorge is not well known to most Americans, but that is the source of women and guns and drugs and pipelines heading to Europe. And this is why Georgia is in the condition that it's in. Yet again, the U.S. destroyed a country that was, at least in Afghanistan's case, finally on the verge of developing. And this is why I'm certain that the Taliban were very popular. They're the good guys. They never wanted, and they stated over and over again, they never wanted to make an enemy out of the U.S. They are Afghan nationalists purely, and they have no capacity to do anything else. They proved themselves to Pakistan, and so they got money from there. Saudi Arabia was iffy about them, but if they centralized control and took over the entire country, they could be a check on Iran. So the Saudis were very excited about it, and that's why the U.S. became very excited about them. But then, you know, 9/11 happened. And I said this before, but I'm going to say this again. I wrote the very first 9/11 revisionist article that very day because I was working for Liberty Lobby at the time. John Tiffany and I were watching. We heard the planes hit. We turned on the internet. And my estimate is 15 minutes. They said Osama bin Laden is responsible. And now I don't know how they could possibly have known that, since they knew that he was very, very sick. That he had condemned one of the only terrorist groups in the world that or organizations that condemned the attack was bin Laden. I firmly believe he died not too long after that, because everyone knows that he was extremely sick. He was on constant dialysis, where they allegedly killed him. There was no kidney machines there of any kind, so it couldn't have been him. But that's a separate issue. That was the nature of my argument. How could they possibly have known? Remember, the previous attack from bin Laden was the act of filling a raft full of dynamite and pushing it out to the USS Cole. That was their previous mastermind attack. And somehow they graduated from that, the incredibly complicated moves that it took to bring down the trade towers. It's laughable. And the media in unison said this was bin Laden. Within, John says 20 minutes, I say 15 minutes from the second plane hitting. And it just made me laugh. They couldn't possibly have known that. And the American press never, ever gave another alternative, except this guy who was in no condition to mastermind anything, and who died shortly thereafter. The attack on Afghanistan had nothing to do with that. Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein were vehement opponents for obvious reasons. And it simply is a manifestation of Johnson's law. The press was under tremendous pressure to lie about this. And since they didn't know one way or the other, it's very easy for them to simply type whatever they were told to type. So the whole thing is based on sand, and that sandy foundation is based on lies. And the U.S. is suffering a humiliating defeat from the Taliban, who are battle-hardened, very motivated soldiers who were considered heroes just, you know, 20 years ago. So it's really and what we're up to $2 trillion, I think, pouring into this with absolutely nothing to show for it except a more destroyed society. And it hardly even registers in the World Bank statistics. And the Taliban were the only hope and are the only hope for that country, it seems to me.
Well, what were they like with the Soviets then? Were the Taliban around at that time? Were they fighting against Bolshevism? Were they fighting against the Soviets? Because I can remember Ronald Reagan had some of these Mujahideen round for tea at the White House, and they were his best buddies because they were fighting against the Soviets. And did they grow into the Taliban, or were the Mujahideen opposed to the Taliban? I heard the Mujahideen grew into Al-Qaeda, and then they were our enemies after 9/11. But then after that, they were our friends again. When they went into Libya and when they went into Syria, they suddenly became called rebels, and they changed their name, but it was still Al-Qaeda. So were the Taliban opposed to the Soviets, and how did they fit in with the Mujahideen and Al-Qaeda then?
Well, the only thing I could think of, I mean, first of all, you know, the U.S. could put on television, we're blowing up a Taliban drug lab, and you see the aerial footage, and it's just boxes on a screen. It could be anything. We have no idea, and I don't think they have any idea. They could just see some rebel group and call it a Taliban. They could see a rebel group and say, this is Osama bin Laden's former organization or whatever. They have no idea. The Taliban was created in the early 1990s. As you know, the Soviets had, you know, were now imploding and had long since pulled out of the country. The only thing that's known with any accuracy is that they certainly were a faction of those loosely organized groups that fought the USSR. How one faction became one organization is really conjecture at this point. It's very, very complicated. And I think most of that information is known to Mossad and CIA and is not known to the public. But at the very least, we know that these guys are battle-hardened, that they could live out in the desert in the rocks for, you know, months on their own. And, you know, the U.S. came in there pretty much green and got their heads handed on a plate. I do not believe, and I have reason to believe, that in Iraq, U.S. casualties were much, much higher than reported. Green American soldiers going into a country that hated them with an army that was huge, that was trained by the Soviets, that were digging in for years, that were trained, that were battle hardened from the war with Iran, and the U.S. just rolls over them. It's not true. The Russian military intelligence has shown that American casualties were extremely high. And, it was only the generals that made their separate peace, with the U.S. I mean, this is the reason that Saddam Hussein wasn't toppled at first. So you really have green Americans. A lot of the combat is being done by non-Americans, being done by mercenaries. And that also has everything to do with why ISIS has suddenly showed up and for some weird reason opposing the Emirate. It just proves yet again that they're the creation and the militia of the U.S. that really can't afford the soldiers and the money anymore. So but as far as their origins, the Taliban specifically came into existence in eastern Afghanistan in the early 90s. So they definitely at least were a faction. They had a tendency to be younger men at first. So they were only kids when the Soviets hit. But at least some of their men certainly were part of that original organization, yes. It's very hard to figure out who's who, though.
Well, the Taliban don't seem to have attacked us. I mean, we're told that Al-Qaeda did 9/11. The Taliban, we don't really hear about them. We don't hear about the Taliban sending people into Europe like we do about Islamic State. We don't hear about the Taliban attacking any other countries. We didn't hear about them going into Libya. We didn't hear about them going into Syria. And what we've got there is a group that is limited to Afghanistan, really. They're no threat to anybody else. So, and yet we're still there. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Is it, the only thing that does make sense is what you suggest, that they are there for the drugs, to protect the drugs, and also to protect the oil, and to, or to protect the oil pipeline, or have a slice of that. I mean, Afghanistan itself, the country was on the trade routes, wasn't it? It was quite an important place in antiquity. It used to be a centre for Buddhism as well, and lots of trade routes used to go through there. But they don't. I think the old Silk Road or something like that, somewhere from Europe through to India, passed through there. So it was quite an important place years ago. And then it became Islamic, and obviously its civilization fell. And we saw the Taliban blowing up the Buddhas, which, you know, sort of kind of puts them in a similar, as a similar type of group to ISIS, who we know blow up these statues. And yet you say that ISIS have gone against the Taliban and they've attacked them. When did that happen? Because I haven't heard about ISIS attacking the Taliban. So what do you know about that?
Well, it's only been a few years ago. And the U.S. has confirmed it. Several people. The Russian special envoy, Zemir Kabulov, was the first to report that 7,000 ISIS mercenaries were active in the country, and that Russian military intelligence were monitoring the situation. The chief of staff of the Iranian armed forces, Mohammad Baghiri, made the claim in early 2018, or January of this year. And for both men, they say that this is just one more proof that they're mercenaries for the U.S. And I consider them essentially American troops. The U.S. just doesn't have the men or the money to send anyone else in. The special advisor on international affairs in the Iranian parliament, Hossein Abdullah, also said the same thing. And he personally witnessed an American A330 landing at Mosul Airport. American generals got off the plane. A bunch of military equipment was unloaded. And then they spoke with known ISIS leaders in Mosul for 3 hours. They then got back on the A330 and went home. They actually met them in the airport's VIP lounge. And then, of course, gave them the equipment and everything else. So there's no question, there's no doubt about this. And it's proof that yet another proof that ISIS is an American creation, that they could do what the American forces cannot. It's the only explanation of their existence. It's when, you know, when they first hit the stage, I laughed. I said, this is so ridiculous with their Charlie's Angels poses, their incredible high level of equipment. They have a fleet of tankers to sell oil from out of nowhere. Obviously, everything that goes on in that country, that area, is known by Mossad and CIA. Anybody who's even remotely a militant is being watched by them. Everything is being monitored by spy satellites, and yet they train out in the open, and that they have the strength to fight the very well-equipped Syrian army to a standstill. And now, of course, they've been defeated. But, you know, the proof is overwhelming. They never run out of ammunition. They seem to know where the Syrian army, at least early on, was going to be. You know, there's been so many sightings of American generals talking to Daesh members that is pretty laughable. The very name is laughable. It's meant to be. There is actually a bad guy in some comic called ISIS. It's not anything that these guys would actually call themselves. It's laughable. And they do what the American army can't. And so they show up. I mean, as soon as Duterte in the Philippines was throwing drug lords in prison and shooting them, all of a sudden ISIS shows up in the Islamic areas of the Philippines to fight them. And they never attack Israel. They never attack Saudi Arabia. In fact, they never attack any ally of the U.S. And Israel and Saudi Arabia, of course, is, you know, they're the two main targets of any Islamic militant in the area, whether Sunni or Shiite. So it's an absolute joke, but, you know, there've been too many witnesses of this, but it's still, regardless of that, the Taliban are more battle hardened than they are well equipped from Pakistan, and are still torching poppy fields, and they control, I guess, about 75% of the country, and they're not being permitted to grow the economy or do anything. The U.S. insists that their, you know, liberal state be put in power and under their control. a bunch of political parties are banned in the American version of democracy over there. The whole thing is a disaster. I want to remind our listeners yet again that Libya, Iraq, Syria, these are on the verge of first world status before the U.S. destroyed them.
Well,
why they're hated. This is why the U.S. is hated so much.
There's one more angle to this that we haven't actually mentioned yet that I'll just mention before we go. And that's, you've got a conservative regime, which is the Taliban, that have conservative ideals, and America is fighting against them. In Syria, you've got a liberal regime that has liberal ideals and allows different religions there, and America is fighting against them. In Iran, you've got a regime which is highly civilized and has ideals of free speech and does tolerate other religions there, and America is fighting against them. What could be the one thing that links all those three countries together and makes them an enemy of the United States? I just don't know what it is, and I'll leave that with our listeners to work out. Right. Matt, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Florian Geyer. God bless and hail victory.